is Painting the Tape, a podcast by traders for traders. Join us as we embark on the journey of the game we love, tick by tick.
Is it me kicking this off?
What are you doing, man?
Sorry.
We're live.
My bad. There's a long, awkward pause, so
Jesus.
Wasn't sure what we were doing there.
All right. We're live. This is Leo. Leo the Tiger on Twitter. Many of you know me. And my buddies AJ and Stowe are with me, and we are starting this thing called Painting the Tape. And it's a podcast for traders like us who trade intraday, trade futures markets. And honestly, we have no idea where this is going to go, but you know, the mics are live. We're here recording, and we're just going to do a quick background introduction into who we are, what we intend to do with this podcast, kind of what we're aiming for. And then we're just going to dive right into, an actual episode today. So AJ, do you want to do an introduction?
Sure. My name's AJ. You cannot find me anywhere on social media. I have no @s, no links.
That's a lie. I know your Twitter account.
Well, all right. I have a burner where I can do stalking, but I'm just purely lurking. And maybe we'll do like some kind of giveaway for anyone that could find me that doesn't already know what the account is at some point. But yeah, quick background on me. Professionally, there's nothing in my history that ever prepared me for the journey of trading. I started quote unquote trading options in 2019. I say quote unquote because really I was just gambling. I had no idea what I was doing. I thought because I had a Series 7 and 66 that, you know, I could just kind of get into thinkorswim and just make a bunch of money. And I did for about a week, and then I lost a lot, and then I made a lot, and then I lost a lot. And that went on for a period of time until I realized I had no idea what I was doing. And after COVID kind of started, I got deeper into kind of figuring out how I could do this a little bit more seriously. And that's kind of when I came about upon futures trading. So yeah, I got hooked on CR Chart right off the bat, which is a super easy and user-friendly platform to use for a first-timer.
That's an addiction in itself.
I would say the first 6 months were spent exclusively losing money and learning how to change the colors on my Sierra chart. Like, that's all I did for those first 6 months.
Yep.
So yeah, I started trading futures in the middle of 2020. I met Leo on a shady Discord around that time. And eventually, you know, we started talking, and eventually we started to get closer and we started to collaborate, and things started to develop into a more, my trading and I guess our friendship, it started to develop into something a bit more than that, which is how we ended up here where we are right now. So
don't all great friendships start from a very shady place?
All of mine do. And I don't have a single friendship that was like, you know, started in a like a sewing club or a book club. That's not where I find my people.
Same.
I think that a lot of people are gonna be in the same boat there.
Yeah, I think trading too. It's like if you haven't cut your teeth in a shady Discord, I just assume that you haven't done anything yet. So if you're listening and you're not in some weird rooms, that's going to be a rite of passage for you to check off on your box.
Yep. Stowe.
Yeah. So yeah, my introduction is that my intro to trading was at the end of 2020. I got a weird bonus that I didn't expect, and I decided to look at the stock market and try to buy weed stocks. And in that process, I bought like whatever fucking Tilray was. And then I forget the other one that ended up merging with that one, but it's not important. Just found my way into Wall Street Bets world and accidentally made a lot of money off of GameStop, like I'm sure a lot of people did. And then I gave a ton of it back immediately and then took a beat and decided like, this is interesting. This is cool. I have a poker background that I've found a lot of correlation with the market in. And I was like, I want to learn this. I want to get good at this. You know, also it was the pandemic, so I was looking for shit to do. So yeah, I traded options for a couple years and then found futures, which was a much more black and white way to express the gambling math that I was used to experiencing. So yeah, I've been trading futures for 2.5 years. I'm not very good. I used to be much worse. I'm still pretty bad. And I met Leo a long time ago when I got into order flow as an aspect of futures trading and, you know, got into the OFL community and also started to use their tools. And then he eventually dragged me over to Sierra Chart, which has been a blessing, even though that was a goddamn nightmare. And then I've known AJ briefly, but is also another kindred spirit that shares the same, you know, way that we think about the market as far as bets and all the other gambling related items, I guess. And but Leo and AJ, watching them talk to each other, I saw like an incredible chemistry there. And I was like, other people need to hear this. Other people need to experience this, like meeting of the minds and like the way that they're able to talk about trading without an ego. Like, it's just black and white. We're trying to solve a problem here. It's completely different than anything that I've ever experienced on FinTwit or in a bunch of shitty discords that we've all been through. So I was excited that they were open into talking into microphones about it for a while. So yeah, that's what I hope this will be. And I'm not going to say much throughout this podcast, but I hope to be kind of an in between two really smart traders who have been doing this for a long time and me, who is less smart and has been doing it less, but may have some good questions. So that's that for me.
Well, and I think the other important role that you're playing here is the master behind the scenes, you know,
I'm also clicking the buttons.
The making us sound good bit, you know, is pretty important too.
Yeah.
Those were some really kind words, Stowe.
Sure.
I would just like to throw the caveat that he was a bit too kind. Leo and I, you know, we've both been doing this for a while, and I think we do play off each other, and there's definitely a collaborative chemistry there. But I don't think either of us, or at least I'm not going to speak for Leo, but I do not pretend that I'm an expert in anything. I know what I know. It's not a lot. I've gone deep into it, and you know, I think we have gotten a lot of feedback from other people that was positive when we do share those things. So that was really nice of you to say. I'm going to say a lot of things that don't sound nearly as smart as Stowe just played off like you might hear. So just wanted to put that out there.
Well, also stupid is smart. So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so most of you know me if you're listening. I'm at Leo the Tiger, or actually it's at ES_F_Leo on Twitter. But I've always just gone by the handle of Leo the Tiger. And I don't know why I picked that name when I, you know, jumped onto the Twitter scene, but I did, and that's just the way it is. But I've been trading since 2014, 2015-ish. Started with options like AJ, oddly enough. I also had my Series 7 and 66, and, you know, I signed up to like this options order flow service essentially, and just followed, you know, the most aggressive, you know, activity from an options standpoint. And that actually worked out well, and I enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed going through that process and understanding, you know, all the Greeks. And obviously you have to learn all of the Greeks in your to get your Series 7. But then, you know, trading them and understanding how they work are two totally different things. But that's where I got started. It worked out for a while, and then I got tired of it because, you know, you're managing multiple positions. Sometimes you have, you know, risk overnight, or a lot of times I had risk overnight. At the time, you know, we had Trump tweeting all kinds of things that could totally mess up, you know, a great trade that you went to bed with. And I eventually found the futures market and dug into that pretty hard. I started on ES, and that's where, you know, I got the handle on Twitter. But now I trade NQ intraday predominantly. I don't trade any other market. And if you also know, started Orderflow Labs in 2021. I think it was July of 2021 that we started, and that has grown, you know, pretty well, not only in, you know, traders, but the actual tool set as well. And so my passion on that is, you know, basically I have a team that I get to work with on a day-to-day basis to automate everything that I'm looking for, either within order flow or, you know, just structural reference points that I want on my chart and I don't want to have to draw it. And so that's what, you know, that's what OFL is all about. In addition to, you know, some of the proprietary, you know, order flow things that we pick up on and, you know, that have the shiny little arrow and such that, you know, most people think, oh, that's the magic, you know, that's my golden indicator. It's not that, but it is, you know, extreme points in the market that we're just trying to highlight. So it's not a signal at all, but, you know, that's what OFL, you know, is in a nutshell. So why are we doing this podcast? We are doing it for some of the reasons Stowe mentioned. Yeah, I know there's a lot of financial podcasts out there, but I don't feel like there's a great podcast for intraday traders that are going to dive into some of the specifics that we're going to cover. For example, we're going to talk about some execution stuff. We're going to go through, you know, a couple of trades that AJ took. We intend to do that on each, you know, podcast, if you will, or episode. And we're going to dive into very specific items when it comes to executing trades, entering trades, exiting trades. We'll dive into some trade ideas or some concepts. A lot of this stuff I've already shared on Twitter or in my trading playbook, but, you know, being able to speak about it, you know, in a podcast format, especially with another person, I think you can really dive in a little deeper into that conversation. So that's really the intent of what we're doing here. And to be honest, it's really going to rely upon you as the listener to engage. And if it's any good, you know, hopefully you'll give us, you know, a retweet and a like and all of that good stuff to get our message out there. Yeah, so we're going to rely on that as kind of like an indicator, you know, how are we doing? And so we take that to heart. And, you know, if it's a flop and nobody really engages with or you know, can relate to what we're covering, then, you know, we'll shut it down. But we're going to give it a go. And
it sounds like a threat.
It's a veiled threat for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, we're going to give it a shot. And if there's truly a demand out there, like we think there is, then I think it'll take care of itself.
Well, I think the best, I think the most interesting part is going to be that, like, we're going to be on opposite sides of the same trade all the time. And it's like, I've watched both of you be on opposite sides of the same trade and make money. And lots of, like, that's, no one's ever talking about that. No one's ever talking about how to pull 15 points out of NQ on a podcast. So, yeah,
well, we're going to talk about it and we're going to show it too, which I'm pretty excited about.
That's true.
I think that's definitely some of the most positive feedback on and seems to be most helpful for people are like kind of reviewing trades. And reviewing trades doesn't mean like showing a chart and putting an arrow next to where you got long and like basically claim victory. You know, there's so much more to it. Like, where did you enter? How did you enter? Where was your stop? Where did you take profit? How did you add? And I think these are things that we kind of had to figure out by trial by fire and a lot of pain, a lot of, you know, moments where we're looking at ourselves in the mirror, wondering why we even tried to take on trading in the first place. And so if we can share some of that in a way that's kind of easily digestible and kind of in a manner of depth that is helpful, I think it would be a pretty cool and unique thing to do.
I agree. So Leo and AJ, what what kind of trader would you describe yourself as? If you, like, you know, we see all the stuff on the internet. How do you guys each approach the market? Like, when you sit down every day at the charts, what are you trying to accomplish?
You want to go first?
I'll go first. Dude, will you stop interrupting me?
Sorry, bro. Just so excited to be here.
I'm sure. Yes. How can I describe myself? Well, earlier I mentioned that I trade NQ, so I'm mostly a psychopath.
Yeah, implied.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given. I'm intraday, so I go, you know, at the end of the market close, I'm flat every single day. I don't swing trade at all. I have a long-term investment portfolio that, you know, does its own thing. But for the core of my trading, it's, you know, trading NQ. I found personally that NQ, you know, provides more opportunity inside of a day versus ES, which is where I kind of grew up trading. And so moving over to NQ was a nice fit for me personality wise, as well as, you know, I think there's generally more opportunities there just as a whole. Me as a trader, it really kind of depends what's going on in the markets, but typically, you know, I have certain concepts that, you know, we'll dive into, you know, in depth, mostly on, you know, some trend following stuff, some absorption stuff and exhaustion. You know, maybe those are concepts that you never heard before, or maybe you have and already know what they are, but, you know, I'm looking for that, you know, at any moment in time, especially around structural reference points like support and resistance, you know, areas of low volume on a volume profile, and also reference some of the market profile stuff. So it's all oriented around order flow. I've got a DOM in the center of my screen at all times, time and sales. And then all my charts are, you know, based on the work that we have done at OFL. And so you're probably going to hear me reference, you know, things like a liquidity zone or a dominator or delta map. And those are all things that are special to me because, you know, the things that I've created with my team. But I'm not here to shill OFL, but it's just going to be part of the conversation because we've taken, you know, concepts such as absorption and turned it into an automated setup. And so I'm going to be discussing that stuff because that's how I trade based off of those tools and based off of those, you know, they're not indicators for me. They're tools and how I look for an execution spot. But yeah, so it's all intraday. Sometimes it's very short time frame scalping, and other times, you know, I realize that I'm trading for a low of day or a high of day. So I trade both directions, long and short. And, you know, it just kind of depends on what the opportunity is at that point in time for me.
So for me, I would say I'm a bit of a hybrid between what's the traditional definitions of like a scalper and day trader, probably a little bit similar to Leo. And it's because of, like, you know, the way I execute. And I'll dive into that a little bit more when we go over my trade fills a little bit later. I also trade prime only NQ. For NQ, I trade both long and short. I will trade both trend following ideas and mean reversion, but I will always prioritize trend following if one of each opportunity is present. So meaning if, you know, the market does something and I can see, and like we've had some kind of like, you know, maybe an opening drive or an open auction drive, I'm going to, and I'm not, and I can see a reason to, you know, fade the move or go with it, I'm going to go with it as my first idea. That's just something, it's just what I'm better at. I prefer to try to believe that the move is real until it's proven to not be real, meaning it's that it's, you know, any drive is, I'm going to consider it a real drive and not like something that's going to reverse until it happens. In terms of the type of information I care about, my main data points are like MGI levels, total volume, delta, and, you know, the time in sales. Like Leo said, I'm a member of OFL. A lot of those data points have been automated by some of the tools that they have. So I think it's great. You'll see it on my charts as well. And I think Leo did a really good job of explaining, you know, why it's important. You know, I guess I'm like a self-described, like, discretionary trader. But I'm trying to make as many aspects of my process mechanical as I can. You know, I find that whenever I try to kind of shift to a full mechanical system, whatever I'm doing at the moment that has been working, it's like the environment changes. And whatever specific criteria I'm trying to repeat over and over again just suddenly doesn't work because NQ is never doing the same thing for any extended period of time. So I try to remain a little bit flexible, but at the same time, you know, I definitely suffer a bit when I'm operating on pure discretion. You know, I need to have some kind of structure in place in the form of, like, you know, a morning routine. My setups are usually the same ideas expressed. I don't express all of them all the time. It's definitely context-based. But, you know, I know when my trade is coming up. There's some kind of pattern, not like a candle pattern, but a pattern meaning repeatable, multiple criteria that form a repeatable setup.
You guys have playbooks.
Right. We have playbooks.
Yep.
And there's different playbooks for different days. And that's how I implement everything.
Cool. The way we're going to, I think, approach this structure of this podcast is, I think we're going to start each episode and just kind of shoot the shit about what recently happened to both of you in the market. If you have any sort of feedback on, you know, any structural moves, any sort of whatever, and then we'll dive into really important topics like execution, structure. There's a lot to be said for mental stuff, of course, that's already been said, but, and then also statistics, how you work in things like ADR, RVOL, all that sort of stuff, and how you're looking at, I know that you're looking at many, many different things at the same time when you're looking to execute. And when you see the play from your playbook appearing in front of you, it involves a lot of moving parts, and I hope to try to dissect those and help people understand what those moving parts are.
Yeah, I think that's well said.
Well, good. I was super proud of it. I wrote it down like 4 days ago, so I was like...
Oh, my God. Listen, if there's one thing that you can remember from this and what we're doing is that we are going to have some type of structure, you know, so that we follow, you know, it's not just randomness, but we aren't prepared with talking points and pre-prepared remarks. And I think that's the great thing about, you know, what we're doing. So on that note, I think it is important to have a, you know, a structure and a, you know, kind of a form. And so, you know, as Stowe was alluding to, you know, each episode is going to have like an introduction, and then we're just going to dive right into a short segment and then a long form discussion on a particular topic. And on those topics, it's going to be, you know, execution, trade ideas, setups, managing, you know, the emotional side. We'll get into that a little bit, and maybe, you know, even some debate. You know, Stowe mentioned a minute ago, you know, some gambling, you know, some references to gambling. And I'm guessing that he and I have some different opinions when it comes to, you know, futures trading and the topic of gambling. So we'll get into that.
Ooh, spicy.
setting the stage for a later combo. But yeah, I mean, we really want to dive into some of the nuance and the details of what, you know, everyday intraday traders face, and, you know, be honest about the challenges and the success along the way. We're going to pick apart each other's trades, you know, and share the screenshots of what we're talking about via the show notes and that.
Yeah, when they say trade reviews, like, they mean like with fills shown. So, right. And it's gross. When you actually have to show someone your own fills, it is pain, because it's not like pointing an arrow at that sick level that worked. It's like, ah, oh, geez, bro, you got in there, and then, oh, geez, you got out there, and then, yeah.
Yeah, You're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly. We are not going to do just touchdown dancing. You are going to see victories, losses, just pure fucking stupidity. And we're going to put it all out there, because that's what trading is. I know that there's a lot of people that just seem to win all the time. And, you know, I'm dying to know how they do that, because
love to know that too. And, you know, on that point, like, I remember there was a time I shared some of my fills with somebody, just a screenshot, and they were like, bro, is that fake? Like, that can't be fake, because it looks like fucking horrendous.
Spider webs. The term. Yeah.
And I'm going, trading is not a fucking art, man. Like, this is not like I'm trying to paint a picture and make my entries and exits look all pretty. Like, I'm dealing with 1,000 things at once. You know, I make mistakes just like everybody else. I overmanage trades just like everybody else. Like, I'm not a fucking hero. I'm just another dude.
I would say trading's like the type of art, you know, I think it's abstract art, where they just take the paint and throw it at the fucking easel and it's just like a mess. Like, that's the type of art that trading is.
And then yeah. Smear. Don't forget the smearing all over it part too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and the only thing that makes it profitable is if someone bought it or not. That's it. Right. Like, is this painting shit or great? There's no way to know.
Everything I do is genius, no matter what the results are. It's going to be, I'm going to live and die on that hill.
All right. Well, people have listened to us ramble for 30 minutes now.
Yeah.
And so we should start to get into some meat and potato stuff.
Yeah. Follow us on the thing. Let us know what you think about what you think we should talk about. This is trying to be a different kind of podcast for people that trade intraday. So, you know, while we have ideas about what we think that you would like to know about, maybe there's ideas that you have that we don't know about yet. So, yeah, just Twitter those things at us. I don't know how the fuck you do it at the moment, but yeah.
Yeah, @paint_the_tape. Do not DM us about Elliott Wave or Moon Cycles, or otherwise we shut the podcast down.
Correct.
Do you know how many people are going to DM us about Elliott Waves and Moon Cycles?
Moon Cycles kind of work. Do you guys not use Moon Cycles?
I hope you're joking.
All right, I'll see you guys next time on Paint the Tape.
Speaking of Moon Cycles.